Hello, everypony. It's Lotus Moon. To start things off, I want to answer a question that I kind of answered in my Q&A video, but there was no definite answer until now. Steve Samuels, if you're watching this, to answer your question, when is my next reading with Secto to Changeling, you're in luck. Secto has released a new reading called Your New Loving Queen, in which I voice Queen Chrysalis. So if you'd like to check that out, feel free to. The link to Secto's channel will be in the description down below and in the end card for the end of this video. For right now, it's time I get back into this reading, as I've put it off unintentionally for so long. There's just been a lot going on lately. So I'm here to bring you Chapter 4 to Fireteam Odium, written by Atronos the Last. I must really apologize to the author for making them wait so long. They've been releasing new chapters for quite a while now, and I'm just now getting back for the fourth chapter, when I believe about maybe almost 12 chapters have been released already. I did have someone voicing in it with me for the character that this chapter is based off of, a fanfiction user by the name of 2003 Pony, but due to some complications, they had to back down until the next chapter. So, I will take over as characters and narrator again. I do hope you enjoy, everypony. Fireteam Odium, written by Atronos the Last. Chapter 4, Curvus's Journey. The first thing Curvus felt was pain. Pain everywhere. It felt like he had just fallen down a cliff with no armor to protect him. He brought a hand to his forehead, hoping to at the very least dull the intensity of it. Realizing that such a simple movement wouldn't help him, he opened his eyes, squinting at the sudden change of light. He appeared to be in some sort of cell. The walls and floor were concrete, and a single cot in the corner was all that decorated the small room. He got up and walked to the solid door, peering out of the small, gridded window that was built into the upper half of the door. He couldn't see much, just other prison cells, but he assumed that he was not the only one in the building. Looking down, he noticed that he had been stripped of his armor. His normal white and green armor had been replaced with some tattered robes. He normally would have noticed his lack of protection sooner, but the pain was clouding his mind. Seeing no reason to stand around, the Titan walked over to the cot and sat in it. He needed to get his stuff back, but he didn't want to enter a fight with no protection. "Ghost?" he called out, hoping for his friend to be okay. "I'm here, but I have to be quiet. Sound travels easily in this building," he heard from his right. He turned to face the voice, knowing that his ghost was merely invisible. "Where are the others? And where's my stuff? I can't read the others too very well. Some sort of interference. But they're not here. You've been captured pretty quickly. Too fast for me to get any usable scans. Your belongings have been taken by the ones that captured you. But who is it? Fallen? This looks like something they would do," Curvus asked, looking around his cell. "It wasn't the Fallen, nor is it anything I have ever seen before. They're coming. Get ready." At that, he began hearing heavy footsteps coming close to his cell. They sounded much too heavy to be a human, and too light to be a Vex or Cabal. He got up and backed up against the wall, shifting his light to solar. Not long after, a massive face appeared at the grate. The door quickly unlocked, revealing his captor. It appeared to be a bull-human hybrid. Its head and legs were that of a bull's, but its chest and arms were human. He had seen pictures of things similar, but the name of them eluded him. "You're finally awake," the bull said, stepping closer. "Can you talk?" "I can," Curvis responded, moving slightly away from the wall. "Good. It is always easier when they can. I have come here to explain why you are here." When the bull got no response, it continued. "You are here to entertain our king. You don't have a say in the matter, and you will do as we say." Curvis gave a smirk at that. "Or what?" he asked. The bull glared at him. "Or he will die a painful death. Your choice." Curvis's smirk dropped. He had guessed that to be the case, but normally the people that had captured him would lead him on, expecting him to do something for them. The simple way he gave that threat said a lot about what he was willing to do. "Fair enough. How exactly do you want me to entertain your king? I am not exactly a man of many talents," the guardian asked. "A fight to the death. You will be released in the arena tomorrow, and you will fight until you either die or kill every opponent. Whatever the outcome is, you will die in the end. This is your life now, slave. Get used to it." The animal finished his explanation by closing and locking the door, the sound of clunking metal signifying the end of the conversation. "Not gonna sugarcoat it, huh?" Curvis said to the door, knowing that the bull could hear him. It gave no indication that it had, however, and continued walking away. The sound of another slamming door could be heard as his captor left the cell room. He turned and sat down on the cot, thinking about his options. He could very easily break out of the cell. A single punch would send that door flying. But he had no idea where his gear was, and without it, he was stuck. As he thought, a sound started to filter through the cell. Looking up, he recognized it as crying. He stood up and walked to the door, attempting to find the source of the crying. After a few moments, he determined it to be coming from one of the nearby cells. "Hey, are you okay in there?" he called out. The crying ceased with a gasp before he even finished his sentence.
Yes, I'm fine," a female voice confirmed.
"Really? You don't sound like it."
"I'm okay. I miss my family," the female whimpered out, sniffling softly.
"I'm sure you do, but everything will be alright. You just gotta hold up," Curvis assured, hoping to help her calm down.
"I appreciate you trying to help, but I think we both know things aren't going to be alright."
"As long as you don't give up, nothing bad will happen to you."
"Maybe, but it still doesn't stop the fact that we're going to die tomorrow," she started, her voice growing quieter.
"Hey, you aren't gonna die. What's your name?"
Lemon Drop.
Curvis's mind instantly drew a blank. Lemon Drop? What sort of name was that? But he pushed those thoughts away for the time being. He had to say something or this poor woman could die in the morning. "Hey, Lemon Drop, tomorrow you stick with me. I'll make sure you make it." She gave a little laugh through her sniffles.
"Thanks. What's your name?"
"Curvis. Pleasure to meet you."
"The pleasure is mine."
Curvis slowly woke up from his sleep. He had been talking with Lemon Drop for a long while. She ended up fairly happy and went to sleep a bit earlier than him in preparation for the next day. Before he could properly get up, however, the heavy steps began sounding through the cell block. He looked up to see a multitude of those bulls walking down the hall with spears and swords. They were unlocking each cell to pull out the prisoners that had been locked in them.
It didn't take long for a bull to open his cell, but before it could grab him, the Titan stood and raised his hand. "That won't be necessary," he said. The bull grunted and followed him out closely, his hand on the hilt of his sword at all times. When he left the cell, he heard a whimper and a small squeak from his right. He turned his head to see a small animal lying on the ground, its eyes closed. It appeared to be a pony, but other than the obvious four legs, hooves, mane, and pony-looking muzzle, the similarities ended. Its fur was a deep yellow, slightly darker than its mane and tail. It had huge eyes that were an amber orange when it opened them. It took a second for Curvis to realize that the pony had come from the cell that Lemon Drop had been in. Putting two and two together, he guessed that the pony before him was Lemon herself. When she opened her eyes, she caught sight of the human. Her eyes went wide as she looked him over, but neither of them got any time to speak as they were shoved down the hall towards a large iron door. They moved in relative silence. Some of the prisoners were crying, others were shouting, but many just remained silent, accepting their fate. Lemon moved up closer to Curvis as they walked, looking up at him and giving him a small smile. "Good to properly meet you," she said. "Better late than never." The rest of the walk was pretty uneventful. One or two of the prisoners attempted to fight back against the bulls, but were put down quickly. None of the others tried anything after that. They were mostly ponies, though there were some other species he had never seen before. Some of the ponies had horns or wings, which nearly blew his mind when he finally managed to get his head around it. They were corralled into a large pen, where shelves resided in the corner with some armor and weapons placed upon them. It appeared that the 40-something prisoners had been expected to distribute the items between themselves, but that, naturally, wasn't how it turned out. As soon as the group noticed the weapons, there was a scrabble to get as many as they could. Lemon almost wanted to join them, but Curvis managed to grab her before she got herself hurt. When the small fight subsided, three were dead and five had been injured. Curvis and Lemon had stayed at the side, away from the mass of prisoners, and so had not been touched by them. As the group dispersed to the other sides of the pen, a large set of doors opened nearby. Six bulls walked in, each clutching huge swords and wearing what appeared to be personalized suits of armor. "All right, you lot, get out there. Any that try to run will be killed here and now," one of them yelled. The group fell into silence immediately, beginning to filter out of the pen and towards the large set of doors. As they passed the doors, they were met with a sound of cheering coming from all angles. They appeared to be in a large coliseum. The walls surrounding them were filled with bulls and other creatures of all sorts of species. Straight ahead of them, a part of the wall jutted out, and a huge bull dressed in ornate-looking clothing sat within that section. "Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 42nd annual death match," the bull in the section of the wall yelled out. He could somehow be heard by everyone in the crowd, leading to a new roar of cheering. "I wish you all the best of luck with your bets. Now, let's not waste any time. If the first group would like to come forward, let's get this fight started." The bull had been standing during this little speech and sat back down when he finished. As soon as he sat, another set of doors on the opposite side of the arena opened, revealing a large team of bulls armed to the teeth. In comparison with how the prisoners were equipped, they were like an army. Curvis quickly pulled the yellow pony to the side when he caught sight of the team. "All right, Lemon, you're going to have to trust me, okay?" he said quietly, looking straight into her eyes. She had started tearing up earlier on and was beginning to break down. She nodded her head in response to his question, following him back as he walked behind a group. Coming up with a plan, he got ready. "Ghost," he whispered, "get ready to resurrect and make sure the scorched earth is prepped." He didn't need a confirmation. His trust in his ghost was all he needed. He began channeling solar energy through his hands, not enough to be visible, but enough to hurt something should he need to. The prisoners were set upon immediately by the bulls, screams coming from those that were not at the front. Lemon's look of fear grew substantially, and she jumped behind Curvis in an attempt to hide. One of the bulls took notice of the human and pony and charged, its sword raised high. As it charged, Curvis raised his fist as quickly as he could, shrouding his hand in fire. The bull realized its mistake a moment too late as the fist slammed into his chest, setting it alight and punching a deep hole into its body. The towering beast screamed in pain and fell forward onto the ground, rolling and hitting itself in a vague attempt to extinguish the flames. The bulls around him turned to see their ally injured, confusion written across their faces. They looked up to see the Titan standing there, fire covering his fists. They charged at once, their weapons ready to kill. Curvis had a split second to react, but that was all he needed. He threw his hands up, trailing fire behind them. As his right hand trailed down to his side, the sound of a hammer striking an anvil could be heard cleanly through the maelstrom of shouts and screaming. As the sound rang out, a massive hammer made purely of solar energy formed in his hand. He brought the hammer up at the nearest bull, slamming it into its jaw. It erupted in fire, creating a huge cloud of fire that injured the other bulls that had charged. Curvis took this opportunity to strike. Quickly, quick as lightning, he threw his hammer out at the nearest cluster of bulls, the hammer exploding on contact and decimating what had been left of that small cluster. A new hammer appeared with a clang in his hand. Turning, he noticed a few more bulls attempting to flank an attack, but they didn't get far. They hadn't even gotten 10 feet before an explosion cut them off, smothering them in searing flames. Wave after wave, this went on. The smell of burning flesh filled the air as the Titan did his work. It didn't take long for the wave of bulls to cease, leaving piles of dead, charred corpses in their wake. Not many of the prisoners had made it through the fight unscathed. Many of them had been killed as soon as the fight had started, but a couple of them managed to make it through Curvis's retaliation. He looked behind him to see Lemon Drop standing there, staring in awe at the destruction around her. She looked a little burnt, but otherwise unharmed. "You okay?" Curvis asked, kneeling down before her and dissipating his solar energy. He gave her a quick check over for injuries he might have missed.
Yeah, I'm fine," she stuttered, her eyes locked on one of the piles of bodies.
"Hey, look at me." It took a moment before her eyes shifted to him. "We're going to make it out of this, but you need to stay calm, right?" She only nodded, her eyes beginning to wander to the carnage around her. Curvis sighed and stood up, turning to the bull that had given a speech earlier. "I'm assuming you're the one in charge? So I will say this only once. Let me and the remaining prisoners go free, or I will do what I just did to the audience as well," he threatened, channeling more energy into his fists. But instead of replying to his threat, the bull simply laughed and waved his hand,
the crowd cheering once more at the gesture. The human began looking around him, searching for the reason that the crowd had become so excited. His search was short-lived, however. A door had begun to open, and a huge bull stepped through once the door was wide enough. The beast was immense, at least 3 times the size of the original ones he had been fighting. It had a warhammer in its 2 hands that it dragged behind him, it apparently being too heavy to lift properly, even for a being of its size. Backing up, he put himself between Lemon Drop and the bull and spoke up quietly. "Ghost, any ideas?" "Your ship. It's your only option right now, as your light is still recovering from sunbreaking just now. If you can survive about 30 seconds, I can get it down here and provide support." "Good enough. Do it. I'll distract this asshole." At that, they both began their work. Curvis ran forward, pushing back some of the remaining light for use in case he needed it. As he got closer, the beast attempted to take a swing at him, only missing by an inch. It swung slowly, but he could practically feel the force behind it. If he got hit by something like that without armor, he would most definitely be downed. Thinking quickly, he slammed his fist into the bull's knee, hoping to at least injure it, but all he got was a kick to the chest, sending him flying backwards. The flames had barely singed the bull, who had begun closing in on him. Curvis jumped back up, pushing a chunk of light forward from his dwindling reserves. He only needed to keep the bullfighting long enough for the Vienna to arrive. When it did, the fight would be pretty much over. The bull began another swing, forcing him to move and avoid being hit. He leapt forward, slamming another fist into its knee. This one got more of a reaction as the flames erupted from the impact, setting the fur of its leg ablaze. It roared in pain, staggering back a bit and staring at its leg. It seemed to not be used to its prey fighting back, never mind actually hurting it. "It's here! Get down!" Hearing his ghost warning, he looked up to see his ship bearing down upon them at full speed. He whirled around and pushed Lemon to the ground, covering her as best he could. No sooner had they hit the ground, explosions began raining down from the sky as the Vienna's cannon began firing on the bull. Each round that fired tore chunks from the beast, the flesh raining down from it. Soon, the ground had been stained red with blood, the audience near the arena grounds looking much redder than when they had arrived. As the disgusted cries from the audience grew louder, the Vienna swung around to hover above the arena. "Ghost, get Lemon into the ship. I'm going for my gear," Curvis called, turning towards the gate they had entered from. As he ran towards it, he glanced over at the yellow pony. She gave him one last look before turning into a cloud of light. When she had teleported, the ship backed off, flying out of the reach of the arena. He reached the gate not long after that and found the only metal parts of it to be joints holding into the wall. And so, reaching into his light reserves, he pulled out a thermite grenade and slammed into the structure, backing away from it before it detonated. The grenade shattered the wood, leaving a huge hole in its place and allowing him to pass through without issue. There were no guards beyond the gate. Curvis came to the assumption that this was due to the security becoming lax over time, thanks to the lack of prison breaks. He began walking through the hallways, dodging around any guards that might have been running to try and find him. He was no hunter, but he understood how to use shadows to his advantage from his time with Khalees. Eventually, he came across a more heavily built door. The language above it was far beyond his comprehension. But he figured the structure of the door signified something much more important on the other side. During his time trying to find his gear, his light had restored somewhat, giving him the ability to summon another hammer. When it appeared in his hand, he threw it as hard as he could at the door. The wood detonated on impact. While reinforced, it had clearly never been built for something that intense. What remained simply fell from the iron hinges it was fitted to. He passed the smoldering doorway to find a large room with various equipment scattered across the tables. There were two bulls. One seemed to be female, dressed in white coats in the corner of the room. The male was standing in front of the female with his arms raised in a defensive manner, but Curvis had no interest in them. There, sitting across the large table, was his armor. It looked like it had been roughed up a bit, but that was nothing to this. That was something that his ghost couldn't fix. He quickly ran over to it, throwing the various sections of plating in position. The bulls in the corner continued to watch as he donned his gear. The male had lowered his hands a bit, apparently realizing that the human cared more about his belongings than them. When the last piece of his armor was set in place, the Titan felt a surge of power. The suit had been storing excess light in case of an emergency and had detected his lowered light level. He had been given a massive boost to his light level, leaving him far stronger than when he had arrived. "Ghost, I have my stuff. Get me out of here when you can," he said into his comms, turning to walk towards the doorway. "Got it. Shouldn't be any longer than 3 minutes," was his response. While walking, he began checking his HUD for damages. He had no idea what the bolts had done to his armor, but it felt almost sluggish. He himself felt stronger, but his helmet's response time to his commands felt a little off. A sound drew his attention from his helmet's display to the hallway before him. There was a small team of bulls wearing armor that looked much less ornate and more combat capable. They were all outfitted with spears and swords, and the one at the front had a primitive crossbow in his hands. The team stopped walking when they noticed the guardian was looking at them. A few behind the leader looked weary, almost fearful, but the leader had a look of pure rage. Screaming, he threw his crossbow up and fired at Curvis, the bolt striking him in the chest. The plasteel took it well, but the force of the impact knocked him back. The bull used this moment to dash forward, slashing at him at this time. "Ghost!" he yelled, raising his hands and blocking a couple of the weapons. The majority of the attacks hit him, but his thick armor took the blows. "I'm here, still moving to get you. You need a weapon? A sword if you could," he replied, glancing a couple more attacks off his gauntlets. As he shoved a bull back, a blinding light caught them off guard. When it lessened, the Titan had a new object in his hands. It was a huge sword, about the same size as him, made out of shining metals. Its wide surface had detailed patterns etched across it, and the entire blade was surrounded by purple energy. At the sight of their ally falling, the others fell into a blinding rage, all of them flinging their weapons left and right in an attempt to kill him. Curvis simply smiled behind his helmet. As his attackers began to bunch up, he jumped forward and spun left, holding his sword at arm's length. He continued to spin, his sword slicing through anything in its way. Void energy circled him, following the blade and burning through the armor it touched, giving the metal an easier time cutting through. He ended the spin after three revolutions. The bulls that had survived the attack had either backed away or were still lying on the ground, their wounds audibly burning. But the human ignored all of this, opting to just rest his sword on his shoulder and walking forward, retraced his steps towards the arena and allowed the remaining bulls to tend to their fallen. Lemon looked over the small lights and monitors with an obvious look of fascination. She had no idea what any of it meant, but it certainly looked pretty. She still gave a little white machine cautious glances. While she didn't see how it could possibly hurt her, she had an odd feeling about it. "Curvis, I see you down there. Coming down for a pickup," it said, looking at the monitors before it. After a couple of bumps from the ship, a being she assumed to be Curvis appeared on the ship. Only this time, he had a large suit of armor on. The main plates were a bright green, and most of them had lights creating patterns over the surface of it. His shoulders were incredibly thick and had large white spikes jutting out from multiple areas. "Thanks, Ghost. I have everything I need. Let's just get out of here," he said, taking his helmet off and revealing the face she recognized as Curvis's. Before sitting in the front chair, he looked around the rear of the ship until his eyes fell upon Lemon. "You okay? They didn't hurt you, did they?" he asked. Lemon shook her head and sat down where she was standing, looking over the armor that Curvis wore. The human gave a nod and turned to sit in his chair. As he started to push various buttons on the metal before him, Lemon went back to looking around at the lights within the ship. Each surface had a large array of lights and buttons, some labeled, some not. One light was flashing more rapidly than the others, one labeled radio. Apparently, the small white machine noticed it as well. "Curvis, transmission from the team," it said, hovering over to the light. The human turned to look at his companion, and upon noticing the light, he got up and walked over to it as well. When he reached the console, he began pressing various sections of the console until a new voice sounded throughout the ship. "This is Guardian Calise 29 from Fireteam Odium. If you are receiving this, please respond." The Titan instantly grew a smile at that. "This is Exodus. How are you doing, Calise?" Curvis looked like he almost wanted to laugh right then and there. The timing was almost too perfect. Even Lemon had to agree. "Exodus! Oh man, it's good to hear from you," Calise said, audibly happier. "And it's good to hear from you. Though you didn't answer my question," Exodus responded. "Oh, right. Well, not bad considering the situation. Met with a local. I'm assuming that you have as well?"
"That I have. Apparently my ghost thought it would be a great idea to stow a youngster on board the galleot. So I guess I have a little companion now."
"Always knew you were a softy, Exodus," Calise commented.
"Yeah, yeah. Have you heard from Curvis?"
When his name was mentioned, the human in question quickly jabbed at a button.
"Until now, I was kinda busy," he said into the console. "Oh, shit! Hey, Curvis! How you doing?" Calise asked.
"Same old, same old. Just happy to know you guys were alright." There was a moment of silence before Curvis spoke once again.
"So, what now? I would want to meet up, but I have no idea where I am."
"And the same goes for me. The little one only knows a couple of towns outside of the forest he lives in," Exodus explained. They could practically hear the smirk coming through, and Calise gave her reply. "Actually, I might have you covered on that front."
And that was chapter 4 of Fireteam Odium, written by Atronos the Last.
Once again, I want to deeply apologize to Atranos for taking me so long just to do this chapter. A lot came up and I got pretty sidetracked. I also want to apologize for all the background noise. Don't worry, everypony. The soundbox will be assembled as soon as I get the phone. And I do apologize for all the mistakes I made. It's been a while since I've done any reading for this story, so yeah. Even though I prepared ahead of time reading the whole thing before doing the audio reading, I still ended up messing up a lot, and I am really sorry for that. Once again, I wanted to bring up Sekto's new reading. Anyone who might be interested in that, the link to his channel will be coming up pretty soon as the end title card. So feel free to click it and check out his reading, as well as subscribe to him. He's a really great guy, and he's really good at readings. I do hope you enjoy it. I am Lotus Moon, and I want to wish you all a good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are, everypony. Good night.